Welcome, 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 St. Louis. Welcome, boys and girls. Welcome, geeks and nerds, to another edition of Geek to Me Radio. I am joined today in studio by Fox from Super Heroines, etc. We're going to be talking all things girly and geeky, so stay tuned. Allons-y! Thank you for joining us again for this third episode of Geek to Me Radio. Fox has been kind enough to come in from an organization called Super Heroines, etc., and I will let her explain what Super Heroines, etc. does.
Yes, I would be happy to. We are a 501c3 nonprofit based out of St. Louis. Super Heroines, etc., or SHE, as we sometimes go
Very
by.
Nice.
Our mission is to empower women to embrace their inner nerd. And so what we do is we have events for our membership base, which focuses on empowerment, community, your professional life, creative life, personal life, and just creating different opportunities for primarily women, even though we are open to anyone, but primarily women or people who identify as women to have safer spaces to kind of get together and just explore their nerdy interests.
Which is great. I've always said the geek community in general is a very welcoming, accepting bunch overall, but it's kind of cool to have this little, you know, group where people can come in and have. And you just had a meetup Thursday of last week, a nerdy networking thing, I think. How'd that go?
Yes, it went well. Those actually tend to be really popular. We partner with Nerd for a Living for those, which the people over there are phenomenal. So make sure to check them out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great opportunity for a lot of people to get together and just talk over different nerdy pursuits.
And I first ran into all of you at Wizard World 2 years ago.
Yes, yes.
And you had a very interesting panel, and which is one of those serendipitous things that we kind of met up, started talking. You've been guest on a podcast and segments on another station that we were on. And it's been just kind of fun being able to talk and, you know, get together and hang out and talk about all things geeky. You and I were just having a conversation about Batman a minute ago in the green room.
Oh, God. My heart breaks.
So we'll dive right in then. You said you did see Suicide Squad.
I did. I was fortunate enough to be able to have advanced screening pass, so I went very early to see it. I'm not going to lie. I did not have a lot of expectations going in.
Sure.
And so those were exceeded. Zero expectations were exceeded.
It's hard to go below zero.
It is. The main thing, like, at the very beginning when they're introducing the characters, mm-hmm. I found that to be really engaging, and I thought the way that they introduced the characters was fun mm-hmm. and neat, which I liked. And then it kind of went into a very plotless place. You know, it got going. The best way I can compare it is snakes on a plane. Like, there's maybe, like, I don't know, 10 minutes to be like, there's this guy, things are going on, whatever, he's on a plane, there's snakes. You know, and I felt like it was pretty much like, there's some people, you know, they're villains, you know them, you love them, and now this is going on. Watch it unfold.
Yeah, I didn't feel that the villain, because when they laid out the people who are on the team, the Suicide Squad, I'm a big fan of the comics, going back to the Ostrander run in the 80s.
Mm.
And it's always been, they kind of did wet works jobs, political assassinations, overthrows of countries. They were kind of like going in under the radar where the government couldn't send regular people. And this just felt like they're taking that same group and we're putting them against a magical entity who's way above their ability to stop. And I kind of felt there was a bit of a disconnect there in the plot, too.
Well, and it's the sort of thing for me that I was... there was no reason why they would have needed a covert group to take care. I mean, surely everyone would recognize that this is an issue and be able to send in, I don't, your usual heroes.
I was expecting the Flash to show up because we know he's running around, so.
Right. I mean, like, literally anyone could have showed up and not been, like, out of place taking out a monster that has literally destroyed the city.
Right. Exactly.
Like, there didn't need to be anything covert about it.
Right. I think the acting was fine. I didn't have a problem with anybody. I loved Viola Davis. She played a pitch-perfect Amanda Waller.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want that mean, hardcore, no-nonsense, I will literally destroy you and kill you if you cross me. And I think she did that just fine.
Yeah, I liked her as a villain. I did. Quote-unquote villain.
Right, exactly.
But I from the very beginning, I saw her and I was like, you are driven, lady, and I can appreciate that.
And Harley, I didn't have a problem with the way she played the character.
Yeah, I think she played Harley fine. And that was fine. Look, this may not be a popular opinion, but I have no idea why she was there. Like, I mean, I know
because she's popular.
Right, she's popular, she's fun to watch, she's a sexy lady. That's all cool and well, but when they're doing, going back to the intros, they're doing the intros and it's like, yeah, Deadshot, he's the best sniper in the universe. He can shoot, you know, an eyelash off your eyeball from 1,000 miles away, right. You know. And then, I forgot his name, the fire guy.
El Diablo.
El Diablo. He turns into fire. He can do all this fire stuff. Harley Quinn is the Joker's girlfriend. You know, I was like, that's cool, I guess, but.
For the new 52 comics, the DC relaunched in 2012, Harley Quinn's been like a mainstay of the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just to put her out there to get her more because they know she's a popular character,
mm-hmm.
which is why kind of like Deadpool on Marvel, they've got 8 different Deadpool books out right now because he's their most popular character.
He's everywhere.
Yeah. I think that's just a marketing thing. So yeah, I kind of felt like, do we really need her? I mean, she was great, but you and I were also discussing where Harley Quinn comes from, which was the Batman animated series.
Yes, the 90s.
And that's, to me, that's going to always be Harley Quinn.
It is. It is one, she and, for anyone who didn't know, she was actually created in that process of the animated series. And I don't want to be that guy talking about, oh, the good old days.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, but get off my lawn, DC. Like, I loved the animated series. Like, just everything about it was so good, you know? And it had a darker element, you know, and it dealt with really heavy topics for children, you know? But at the same time, like, there were fun moments there, and it wasn't just like, this is gritty, this is real, my voice is down here, you know?
Right, yeah, Kevin Conroy really did a good job with,
just like, it was amazing, like, the way that man was able to do just the voice, and Mark Hamill is the Joker, please, like, that is the only Joker I need in my life.
So, you also said you weren't a big fan of Jared Leto's Joker.
I like Jared Leto, I think he's fine, I have no personal beef with the guy, but, like, this was not my Joker, you know, and like if you look at him as, you know, oh, the Joker has died, one of his minions was like, I'm gonna be the Joker now, you know, like if you separate him and make him like a different Joker, that's fine, but I did not like the aesthetic. I didn't like his deal. I didn't really get him. I felt like with Heath Ledger's Joker, I was like, I get you. Like, you're crazy and I wouldn't do what you're doing, but I totally get you. You know, I can see why you're doing it. I can, you know, you make sense, your whole package. But like the Jared Leto Joker, I was like, what are you doing here? You know, and he got very little screen time too, but he pretty much was this Jared. And like, I like that he was there to, I guess, elevate Harley's experience.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing he was there for. Plus they wanted Batman and Joker to kind of up the profile of the movie, I'm sure.
Sure. But, like, I didn't get it. I didn't need to see him there.
I understand, like I said, he has to do something different than Heath Ledger's Joker.
Right.
And I kind of see what he was doing. I can respect, okay, he's playing it this way. It's more like a, almost like a gang boss kind of Joker.
Sure.
But, yeah.
But I get it, but I didn't like it. I feel like the Joker's personality has to be so big. You know, I feel like the Joker can walk in and like take over a room with like he's supposed to be super charismatic. Like that's how I've always viewed him, you know, like crazy, but charismatic in his own weird sort of way. And like, I watched Jared Leto as a Joker and I felt uncomfortable, but like socially uncomfortable, not just like, you know, the guy's creepy, but I was just like, what?
It's funny you mentioned that too, because fun fact, I read that Jared Leto actually, as he was getting up to the role, he would go and he would practice different laughs to see which one made the most people uncomfortable. And that was the laugh he ended up going with, is the one that made the most people the most uncomfortable. So job well done there, because that was kind of a...
Well, like, it maybe utilize more of that. I felt like I don't even remember what his laugh sounded like. I feel like I mostly remember him sitting in the room just, like, kind of weirdly staring at this one guy and being like, yes, my girl Harley, you can have her for a night, or whatever. And I was like, I do not understand what's going on here.
We're going to come back. We're going to break. We'll be back with more from Superheroes, etc. I want to remind you that the official comic book store of Geek to Me Radio is the Fantasy Shop. Four locations around the St. Louis area: on St. Charles on Zumbel, South County on Baptist Church Road, in Florissant on Lindbergh, Maplewood there on Manchester Road. The official comic book store of Geek to Me Radio. It's a comic buying experience. Go check them out. Check them out online too. FantasyShopOnline.com. We'll be back with more talking to superheroes, etc. on Geek to Me Radio. Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. We are joined in the studio by Fox from Superheroines, etc. And we were talking about the DC movies and how there's just that something they can't seem to get the formula right. Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad both did great on opening weekend, but then there was, I think, I want to say like an 80% drop-off in ticket sales from opening weekend to second weekend. And I know it didn't help the fact that Suicide Squad wasn't even released in China, so they aren't going to have those numbers to help them out.
Oh.
Which is a big market for where Batman and Superman pick up some cash. Right. But now they're looking at Wonder Woman to be their to be what saves them, since Suicide Squad didn't do it. And I'm a DC Comics fan. I want the movies to be good. I'm hoping Wonder Woman is good. Do you have any thoughts on what you've seen so far?
I am cautiously optimistic. Like, I've seen the trailer, and I liked what I saw. I liked that she has her colors.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, again, didn't watch Batman v Superman. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready, but I had seen, you know, screen caps of Wonder Woman, and she looked very brown.
Kind of darker colors, brown. Earth tones, yeah.
You know, which is... I get it. Browns are very natural colors, whatever, you know, but like, I like seeing color,
sure.
You know, and it looks like that's going to come back into her costume, which I am excited about. And it looks good.
Yeah.
It looks like it could be good. I think it did a good job of not really giving away too much, but I do wish I would have seen a little bit more of her personality.
Yeah.
At the same time, she seemed very just straight line. And I think there's a little more to her than that.
Yeah, no, and again, going back to the animated stuff, because DC, their animated properties and their direct-to-DVD stuff and their series have been just phenomenal. And I follow Susan Eisenberg on Twitter, who was the voice of Wonder Woman in the Justice League series in the early 2000s. And I've told her before, I said, every time I read a Wonder Woman comic book, your voice is the one I hear inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, you know, hard. There's a couple episodes where it's focused on Wonder Woman, and you can see just what a powerful person she is. And she has a little bit of fun sometimes. She's not this no-nonsense. So hopefully we'll see more of that in the standalone Wonder Woman film from Gal Gadot's character.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm, again, cautiously optimistic. but I'm ready to be impressed.
Yeah, I'm hoping they pull it off.
I've been ready for a while to be impressed.
So what about, you said you did not see the new... Just staying on the women's in film topic here.
Yeah.
You did not see the new Ghostbusters, you said.
I did not. I've actually heard very interesting and pretty positive reviews from it so far, though, since it's been out. I recall whenever the trailer was first released, there were a lot of criticisms, and some of which was, you know, kind of what you would expect. But there were some criticisms that I was like, you know, I mean, I can kind of see that from the trailer. That being said, I've actually heard a lot more positives since it's actually been out. So I'm super curious. And I loved the old Ghostbusters. So.
Yeah. It's a classic. I mean, I think a lot of the pushback was, I think Hollywood does so many remakes.
Right.
Where people are just automatically like, oh, that's going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may have been, because that was my initial thoughts. Like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you hate my childhood? Why are you trying to ruin it?
Right.
But it was, I think, still the most fun movie I've seen all summer long.
Mm, that's cool.
And I loved McKinnon. McKinnon. From Saturday Night Live, the blonde.
Oh, God.
I can't think of her first
I'm
name
now.
I'm
not the person. I'm so bad with people's names and faces.
Kate McKinnon. There we go. Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
I think she and Leslie Jones, I think the two of them actually, I preferred them to Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig's characters, who were obviously supposed to be the two main stars of the show.
Yeah.
But I think the interaction of the group, I really liked it. I thought it was a great movie, a lot of fun. By the way, if you're listening and you'd like to call in and throw in your opinion on any of this, I haven't given out the line numbers yet. I apologize. 855-770-1260. That'll be the number to call in if you'd like to weigh in. If you like the DC movies, if you like Ghostbusters, you didn't like it, give us a call.
We're here all day for the next 30 minutes.
That's right. 30 whole minutes you have to call in right now and talk to us. Jessica Jones is... a great series on Netflix, Marvel did. And I think you said you saw that or hadn't seen it yet?
I swear to God, I am so behind on everything. It's atrocious.
They have a season two. Because last time we did the podcast, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And literally 2 days after we did the podcast, they announced a season two. So obviously Marvel's listening to the podcast. I just want to point that out.
So you're welcome.
Exactly.
Listeners.
Exactly right. We're going to head to break. Before we do, I want to remind you, if you haven't had dinner plans yet, Hendel's Restaurant up in Florissant. They have spectacular food, and it's a nice night out tonight. You can eat out on their patio. It's a fantastic atmosphere, great food. The raspberry pork.
Ooh.
Oh,
that does sound very tasty.
It's so good. Head up there, and if you want to check them out online, you can do reservations online. You can take a look at the menu. Hendel'sRestaurant.com up in Florissant. Give them a call. Check them out. Have dinner, tell them Geek to Me Radio sent you. We'll be back with more right here on Geek to Me Radio.
Let's begin it. Barry Grinn. Spin it.
A little tailspin from the Disney afternoon. As we get back into Geek to Me Radio, joined in studio by Fox from Super Heroines, etc.
Hello.
And we were talking about all the female, I guess, influence right now in all the comic books. We're getting a first female Captain Marvel movie with Brie Larson cast. Are you were you a Captain Marvel fan?
Okay, so truth comes out, full disclosure. Until the movies, I was really not a huge fan of Marvel.
Get out.
Not for any particular, but I loved like Batman, all of that so much that I'm in a very conflicted space right now. You know, and it actually, I have not kept up as much with the Marvel movies, even though clearly they are doing it so much better.
Yeah, the Marvel movies are definitely crushing DC. Their comics are a hot mess right now, I feel. But luckily, their movies are doing well. You and I were talking during the break just now about how it's sometimes can be a hot button topic with people in the fandom, how they'll take a character and they'll do a gender switch, or they'll do they'll take a character who's like one of my favorite parts of the Daredevil movie was the guy who played Kingpin, Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, yeah.
They could not have found a better. And no offense to Vincent D'Onofrio, who played him in the Daredevil series.
Sure.
But I'm sorry, Michael Clark Duncan, just the way he filled that role, because Kingpin's supposed to be a much larger man.
Yeah.
And
we just had so much power.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it just the fact that the Kingpin was originally white in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
They made him black. Michael Clark Duncan didn't bother me at all. It was the perfect casting.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are so, it seems like, intent on they have to be cast a certain way. And it's going both ways, and it's kind of an odd. I almost don't like to get into it sometimes. But some of the roles that I was researching, this Ashley Rickards has just been cast in The Flash season 3 as the villain, the Top. In the comic books, it's Roscoe Dillon, because all the Flash's enemies are pretty much guys because they were all created in the 60s.
Sure.
for a male superhero, Emily Kinney from The Walking Dead, who played Beth in The Walking Dead, she played the bug-eyed bandit in The Flash, who was actually originally the Adams villain from the 60s, also a guy. And Firefly on Gotham. Have you been watching Gotham since you're a Batman fan?
No. I'm so afraid. I'm so gun-shy.
A lot of people don't care for Gotham because it's kind of, well, that can't be right because the Penguin would be 60 when Batman shows up as Batman, sure, and everything like sure. that. So some people don't like it. It's worth getting into if you treat it kind of like an Elseworlds tale where this is what could be in an alternate universe of Batman's mm-hmm. reality.
I'm ready to enter into that space.
Yeah, it's starting its season 3 here, I think, coming up September 19th will be the third season of Gotham. And they have Firefly, who is a character played, Garfield Linz was the villain who played Firefly in the Batman comics, played by a female and I don't really think it's a big deal. You and I were talking about one thing though, which again I don't have enough knowledge of to comment.
Sure.
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, which yes.
And I know I saw a lot of blowback on that one on the internet online. Since I can't really speak to it because I don't know it as well, you mm-hmm. were kind of saying,
well, okay. So the idea about gender bending and putting different racially ethnic people into different roles. Here's what I'm going to say on that. It's that like there is so much predominance of white male and white female, you know, characters that I feel like anytime you give space on the stage to a less represented community, mm-hmm. it is beneficial. So that being said, I am prone to like more when I see, you know, a female Thor, you know, which obviously that was done by Marvel. So that's actually a thing, you know, but even having villains cast as women where they were originally men, or, you know, Kingpin being cast as a person of color other than a white guy. And I tend to be much more irritated by, the whitewashing, for example, like in Ghost in the Shell, which, for anyone who may not be aware, the movie is coming out with the main character, Motoko Kusanagi, the Major, being played by the most Asian person we all know, Scarlett Johansson. You know, and like that, look, I understand that there's a lot of anime that is kind of not so clear on what ethnicity people may be. Is this person white? Are they Asian? I don't know. You know, I mean, the drawing can be very stylized, but this is a Japanese woman with a Japanese name in Japan.
Right.
You know, I mean, I feel like that's very clear. And what, for me, as both an Asian person and an Asian actress, it's like, hey, your guys' material is good enough, but you're not good enough to be in it. You know, I mean, as an Asian person, I would love to see some people that I can, like, actually identify with a little bit more.
Right, sure. Yeah, and that's, I think, if they get the person who's right for the part, I don't really care if it's a person of minority, of color, of gender bending. I think it's fine as long as the person who's right for the part. Michael Clark Duncan is the prime example of that. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with more on Geek to Me Radio. Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. Thank you all for listening today. I've been joined in studio for this edition by Fox from Super Heroines, etc.
That's me.
And you were just mentioning you did some updates to the website.
Yes, yes. So our website, superheroinesetc.org, and that's etc with an ETC, not mm-hmm. spelled out. Our wonderful founder and former board president, Carolyn Noe, did a phenomenal job with the website. And so it is up and running. And you can actually sign up for membership on the website, which also gets you access to the forums. We're going to have some webinars up there. But one of the most exciting things we've implemented is that we are going to have themes. September's theme is going to be She's a Boss, which basically is going to be about entrepreneurship. We're going to talk to some women who run their own businesses, just different things about, you know, getting your resume put together, what to do if you have a business idea, things like that. October is going to be a Friend, where we talk about different ways to make friends once you're out of school and you're not really meeting people, and kind of friend-based. November is going to coincide with National Novel Writing Month. So it's going to be about writing a novel and some different ways to kind of stay on track, different tools and tips and things like that. So it's going to be really exciting. And we are going to try and have a few of our actual in-person events kind of mesh up a little bit with these things as well. So it should be really exciting.
Very cool. And that Superheroines, et cetera, ETC. I don't think I could spell et cetera if I had to. Superheroines, et cetera, .org.
Yes.
So you can check them out online there. Sign for some of their stuff. Fantastic, fantastic group. I've worked with you guys, had a podcast and everything. I love you guys to death. You're fantastic.
Thank you so much. And it's really been so fun. And we're actually looking into expanding outward from St. Louis. We're actually in September, I believe, we're going to be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Oh, fun. That'd be neat.
Yeah, doing a panel up there. So that'll be our first time out of town. We've done panels all over the place in town. So this will be really exciting. Very cool. Branching out.
Yeah, yeah. There's a big convention coming to St. Louis in October, Geekonomic Con.
I've heard about this, yes.
It should be a lot of fun. So I can... After we're off the air, I'll give you the contact information if you
want to
meet up with them and talk about setting up a panel or something like that, too.
Yeah, we and by we, I mean me, love doing panels. It's really how we do our outreach portion. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Like, the panels that we've done at Wizard World, for example, are about, like, geek feminism, why is representation important, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, the amount of people that show up and listen and you can tell are really like, yeah, I like the sounds of that, you know. And also just showing that feminism isn't about, like, hating everything, you know, but about asking for more from the things that we love.
Right.
Know?
And like I said earlier in the show, the geek community is very much about inclusion and accepting and everything like that. So it's a fantastic network. So check them out online. Once again, superheroines, et cetera, .org.
Become one with us.
Yes.
Join the collective.
Yes. And the Cincinnati thing, that sounds like it'd be a good time.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
Very cool. We were talking earlier about just the world of all things women that are in the comic community. There's all sorts of, we were talking about female Thor.
Yes.
Wolverine is female now.
Yeah,
his daughter's taken
over.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And that's actually, that book is really good. We talked about the female Thor. Natalie Portman has just said that she's done with the Marvel movies. And it sounds like it's just, they don't have a role for her to play for the Jane Foster character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, since it's kind of growing out and expanding. We're getting more superpowered people being pulled in. And the Avengers Infinity War is supposed to have, I think they said, 46 different characters.
That's kind of crazy. I would just want to point out how crazy that is. That's super crazy.
That's a lot to juggle.
That's a lot of people. What are you going to do? What are you going to, everybody, like 5 minutes or so?
It's because we were talking off air about Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Not my favorite movie, but there were so many characters going on in that. It was almost overwhelming. And I hope they don't, because originally they were talking about having two different movies, Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, like they did with Matrix and the last Harry Potter. And I don't know, they now said they're going to condense it into one movie. So it's going to be a 4-hour running time to be able to do justice to all the characters.
Well, and the one thing I do think that they have going for them is they've done a really good job at setting up all of these movies to where you don't have to have this one movie that gives you the background of everyone, who everyone likes, who they don't, what they want to do, what their motivation is. You can, you know, you can watch through the Thor series, you can watch through, you know, Iron Man, all of this. And also, in addition to, you can watch all of the, you know, Netflix series as well to get more sense of background for different characters. And so I feel like they've done a good job at establishing the backgrounds elsewhere. So there's going to have to be less of that kind of rudely squeezed into a single movie.
Right, yeah, and it's because it's so spread out, that's a good point that they can probably get away with maybe a little bit more of that. I think the Captain Marvel, though, Brie Larson is going to be introduced in the Avengers Infinity War. So that'll be interesting. They'll introduce her character there and then have to, I don't know if they're going to do an origin story or backlog things in her movie, which comes out after the fact. But I think Marvel's done such a good job as far as building this universe. They've done it since 2008. Just kind of slowly expanding. And again, it's one of those things DC, I almost feel like they're playing catch up trying to do.
I feel like they are DC. And I say this, take it with a grain of salt, you know. But I feel like a lot of what DC is doing can really be described by trying to catch up. You know, I mean, like, so much just being like, you know, just going back to Suicide Squad again, just this sense of I couldn't tell what kind of movie it was supposed to be. Whether it was like fun and, you know, kind of irreverent, you know, or because it, the way it started was really about like, look at the horrors of what government is doing to these people who are prisoners. Look how wrong this is. Look how wacky everybody, you know. And I was like, whoa, like, pick one or the other. Like, if you want to go with how dirty the government is, let's explore that. That's cool.
And that would have been a perfect movie for them. Like I said, as we talked about, they do kind of government overthrows, wet works jobs, the dirty stuff they can't send in official government channels to do. But it had quite of a disconnect. And I don't...
Well, and there's I, honest to God, I don't believe this will be a spoiler, but there's one part where a character says kind of later on, like, no, I'm not going to let you do anything to my family. And I was like, and I stopped in that moment. I'm like, who the hell are you talking about being your family? You don't like these people. None of you like each other. What is this all of a sudden?
Yeah, kind of the quick bonding at the end. But again, that could have had something to do with the extensive reshoots that they did on that movie to kind of like, oh, we're going too dark. Let's lighten up a little. So maybe that was why the disconnect. I don't know.
It seemed like they were trying to be, all right, let's utilize a little bit of Deadpool for this segment. Let's throw in some funky music, you know, and
Guardians
for this,
of the Galaxy,
and, you know, and yeah. It's just like, man, just pick something and just like own it, right?
And we're going to be back in the last segment, wrapping things up very quickly. But in the next 30 seconds, I want to make sure to remind you what a gorgeous day it is outside. You need to go downtown St. Charles along Main Street. They have all sorts of places to eat outside right now. They've got shops that are unlike anything else. It's just a nice place to go down, especially on a day like today. Hang out by the river. Take a picnic, for crying out loud. Go down there.
Picnics
enjoy,
are great.
Yeah. Enjoy the park, the Frontier Park right there. There's always something to do. And you can plan your visit by going to historicstcharles.com to see more of that. We'll be back right after this on Geek to Me Radio. We are back. We're going to wrap it up here on Geek to Me Radio. I want to point out to you that the Fantasy Shop, one of our fine sponsors, the Fantasy Shop, the official comic book store of Geek to Me Radio, has a fall used gaming auction coming up. So they'll be taking material at all the Fantasy Shop locations. To remind you again, that's St. Charles on Zumbel Road. They have a brand new store right next to the Michaels right there in the Deerbrook Plaza. South County on Baptist Church Road. In Florissant on North Lindbergh and in Maplewood on Manchester. You can look them up to get their locations and the addresses at fantasyshoponline.com. They are taking material at all locations Thursday, September 1st through Tuesday, September the 6th. And then silent bidding will be available on their website, Fantasy Shop Online, starting Tuesday, September the 13th through Friday, September 16th. They'll also have a live auction schedule at the St. Charles location on Saturday, September 17th and Sunday, September the 18th. You can get all the information more at fantasyshoponline.com. So thank you again, Fox, for coming in today. It's been kind of fun and just talking. Like I said, I like to have conversations, and it's been it's always nice to have people in to talk about who actually know what they're talking about. So thank you.
Well, thank you. No, it's been great being here. It's always a lot of fun.
And that website again is superheroinsetc.org. Check out the things they'll have coming up there. And we'll be coming next week. We have the gentleman from Ruthless FX. If you're a cosplayer, they got some fantastic helmets and things and masks and stuff like that they do professionally. And we'll be talking to them as well. We'll also be talking with a gentleman from Dragon Con who does their press and promos. That's coming up. I think they're celebrating their 30th year this year.
Wow.
Have you ever been to Dragon Con?
I have not. I have not gotten nearly out of town as much as I went.
Right. I'd almost be intimidated to go. It's like a 4-day thing. It's spread out across four hotels in downtown Atlanta. They're actually televising the big Dragon Con parade that's happening Saturday on the CW network.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's just in the Atlanta CW or if that's all over, but yeah, it's huge, and I'd almost be intimidated to go. I'll probably end up spending $20,000 to donate pints of blood.
I will buy everything here.
Right. Yeah, it might not end well for me if I was to go, but it'd be exciting. That same weekend, of course, will be Geekonomic Con in Oklahoma City. The entire cast of the 1998 Doctor Who movie has been reunited, and they will be at that event. So we have the 7th and 8th Doctors, Sylvester McCoy and Paul McGann, respectively. Daphne Ashbrook, who played the companion Grace Holloway. They'll all be there. It looks like it'll be a really good time. And also from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you're a fan of Mockingbird, Adrian, I'm going to butcher her last name, Padalecki, I think?
I'm not the person to check that with.
This is why I don't do teaching, because I all the kids would get mad because I'd butcher their names. But anyway, she'll be there along with a huge ton of other guests. You can check them out at geekexpos.com for more information there. In wrapping up, I guess it's been a lot of diversity we've seen, especially from the Marvel side of things. Mm-hmm. I feel more than the DC, I guess.
I would have to agree.
But they've done a great job of their casting, and we're seeing Jessica Jones season 2. If you have not seen any of the Netflix original series, start with Daredevil, then do Jessica Jones, and then do Daredevil season 2, and then you'll be ready for Luke Cage, which hits on September 30th.
Yes, very excited about that.
That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week with more Geek to Me Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
That's a show!